Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, if you want to tell somebody about something, to make a sure defense about your faith in Jesus Christ, I'm thinking the best way to go about it would be to get right in their face and say, "Listen to me. I'm going to tell you about Jesus, and you better believe me." How many of you think that would be effective? No? How about you just talking to them, and they're like, "I don't understand why you believe in Jesus." And you could say, "Let me tell you why." And then you go on and explain what he has done for you, how he has saved you from your sins and all people by going to the cross, how God loves everybody, and then inviting them to church or to Bible study or maybe to have a little devotion with them. You know, maybe you have your copy of Portals of Prayer with you or some other devotion, or you could just talk to them, open up the Bible. Do you think that would be more effective than getting in their face right away? I think so too. Because Peter tells us in his first letter that we should be gentle and respectful when we talk to people about Jesus and we give them a sure defense. Actually, we should always be respectful as we talk to people and gentle, no matter what the situation is. If you're a boss and you have employees, you shouldn't yell at them and say, "You did this wrong." But hey, can I show you how to do this right? You know, and when I was becoming a supervisor many years ago, my mom told me something that my dad did when he was a supervisor. And when he was angry, he would not schedule a meeting or talk to the person right then. So when I was a supervisor and I got angry about something, guess what? I'm a human being. I would get angry. I still do sometimes. And what I would do, I would call a staff meeting for the next day so I could reflect on it, think about it. How was I going to talk to them? Was I going to talk to them and say, "You stupid fools, you did this wrong"? No. No. I would say, "I see where I didn't train you well enough and you didn't understand how to do this. Let me show you how to do this. Is there anything I'm doing that you feel is wrong?" Something in that manner. Did I always talk to them so gentle? I would love to say, yes, of course I did. You know, like I always talked respectfully and gently to my mom when she asked me to wash dishes. No. Okay, we're humans. We're going to make mistakes. Each and every one of us. I promise you, we will speak in the wrong way to someone. I promise you. But because of God and his love for us, and that he took our sins upon the cross, we are able to forgive others just as Christ has forgiven us. And so beautiful that we are able to do so. And knowing that we are forgiven by Jesus Christ, even when we do things wrong, talk bad to our mothers, refuse to do something, or other sins, any other sins. You know, I see in the first reading that, or maybe the gospel reading, one of them, I'm sorry, I guess it's anyway, we had a reading today where Moses was asked to build something. What was Moses asked to build? Noah. I always get them mixed up. So if you hear me say Moses, I might be talking about Noah. And if you hear me say Noah, I might be talking about Moses. Okay. Noah was asked to build something. What was he asked to build? Well, he didn't put in his hearing aids that day when God asked him to. So he was building the stone arch. Maybe he had the first, when they designed the gateway arch, they took his diagram for it, and you could hear, no, I said ark, ark. So that has nothing to do with the sermon, but I thought I'd throw that in there. I just read that last night. I thought it was funny, so I had to use it. So if you need help with speaking about Jesus to others, someone's there to help you. Jesus left and he said, I will not leave you as orphans. But he gave them his Holy Spirit. So when you're going to speak to someone about Jesus, you pray, Holy Spirit, please give me the words to say, be with me. And he is with you. Every time before a sermon, I say a prayer asking the Holy Spirit to be with me as I'm speaking to you. Because believe me, I can't get up here and stand and talk to you like this on my own. You know, I'm a shy person, actually. But the Holy Spirit is there with me. But when you do so, talk to them. Remember to also ask him to let you do it in calmness, in gentleness, and respectfully, in peace. See, Paul, in the first reading today, he's in Athens, and he's there a little bit early, so he decides to be a tourist, and he goes out, and he checks some things in Athens out, and he goes, and he sees all kinds of idols to all kinds of gods. And he goes and he starts talking to people and he's conversing with them in the synagogue and in the marketplace. And they really went to the marketplace back then. It's like going to Walmart today. If you want to see someone, you go to the marketplace back then. And they were all there and they were sitting there and they were listening and stuff. And they were Epicureans and Stoic philosophers. And the Epicureans, you know, you're born, you live, you die. That's it. The Stoic philosophers, they just like to debate anything and everything. They love just to sit and talk. So they invited Paul to speak at Areopagus. And he came and he spoke with them. Because they were hearing him speak about Jesus and the resurrection, huh? So they asked him to come and speak to them, and he came. And he could have been very angry about all the other idols. He could have been very angry about all the pagan gods they worshiped to. He could have been just laying down the law on them. You fools! Don't you know you got it wrong? But he doesn't do that. He speaks to them with kindness and gentleness. He's full of the Spirit. And he talks to them. And he compliments them. I see that you are very religious and devout. So I see all your idols. And I also see an idol to the unknown God. But guess what? I know who this unknown God is. He's the living God. Let me tell you about him. And he goes and he talks about God and about Jesus and how he died, suffering for the sins of all people. He died because he loved all people. And he died a very horrible death. and was laid in a tomb. On the third day, he rose again. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And he told him all about Jesus had done, how he did not live in a temple made by man, how God doesn't, nor is he served by human hands. The idols, they had to be cleaned and wiped down and dusted off. Jesus cleansed us in the waters of holy baptism. And we receive his body and blood. His blood covers up our sins. He cleanses us. He doesn't need anything. He made everything. He doesn't need us to offer sacrifices to him, which of course, if it's an idol and you bring him food, someone's going to have to clean up that food later. But God, he gives us our food and everything we need, and he feeds us with his body and his blood. He gave to us life and breath. And even with the disciples, when he was in the upper room, he breathed on them. He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He gives life to us. He gives us breath. He gives us everything. And he's made people from every nation on all the face of the earth, allotted to them where they should live, the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God. And remember, we didn't choose Jesus. Jesus chose us. And he sought us that they might feel our ways to find him. Yet, he's not far from each of us. Actually, he dwells within us, each and every one of us. So when we go to talk to someone about Jesus, no matter where we are, no matter who it is, do it in kindness and in gentleness, with respect. Tell them what Jesus has done for them, for you and them. And then, when you go out, live in a way that will reflect on Jesus. When you go out, no matter where you are, if you're proclaiming that you are a Christian, and I pray to God that you are, and you act in a manner not God-pleasing, that will reflect on Jesus. So we go out and we live in a God-pleasing way. And we can't do it in ourselves, but we pray the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us to live in a godly way. At the last church I was at, we had a church van, and somebody had contributed the letters to put on the side of the van saying the name of our church. And I was in Springfield, Missouri one day, and I was on one of the busier streets, and this car cut me off. I didn't like people cutting me off. I really wanted to jam up and yell at him and get. And then I remember God said, "Hey, remember what the side on your the van says? Oh yeah, I'm representing Jesus. I'm representing God. No matter where we go, even if we don't have a sign on our doors or a bumper sticker on our car, we are God's representatives on earth. So we act in a godly way. We act in a respectful way. Even if something does something terrible to us, remember, we are God's. How would he want us to treat them? Be like Paul was in this instance. Be respectful and kind and explain Jesus and why you have your faith in him. And we're able to do so because God loves us so much that he gave us his perfect son and had him suffer and die for us out of his great love for us. But he didn't leave him in the tomb. And even when Jesus, while Jesus is away, he has given us his Holy Spirit. But he rose on the third day. And he is now in heaven. And we await the day that he will return to take all believers to spend eternity with him. What a beautiful day that will be. In the name of Jesus, amen.